The Brad Sesmat Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
Thanks for being with us. Hope you had a great long weekend. We have a jam-packed show. Bruce Feldman, one of the best in the business with Fox Sports, FS1 reporter. He and Stuart Mandel have a great podcast, The Audible. Bruce is going to join us here in about 3 or 4 minutes. We usually do not have a guest in the top of the show, but today, because it's Bruce Feldman, we say we're going to have a guest in the top of the show. A very good guest. Speaking of another great guest, Peter King will be with us today. The great Peter King, with the NFL season starting Thursday night, the Cardinals opening against Adrian Peterson and the Redskins on Sunday. It's the time of the year where having Peter on every week, it will be great to visit with Peter. He's now with NBC Sports, the NFL reporter. He's been with NBC, just not with MMQB anymore. He's doing his own thing, which is great. Our opening comments, because there is so much going on, brought to you by Sagicor Now. When I say Sagicor, guys, you've got to think about life insurance. You have to think about your personal situation, your families, the space in life that you're in right now. It's never too early. It's never too late to take a look at what you can do to protect yourself and your family through life insurance. Log on to Sagicor Now. Get your free quote right now. Do it at Sagicor Now. We appreciate Sagicor and their support. I'm going to leave the Diamondbacks alone because they were so disappointing. And the college, to me, I'm all about the college stuff today. I was in Tucson Saturday night and saw a wretched game. U of A decided that we're going to take Khalil Tate. We're just going to have him turn into a pocket passer, and he's never going to run. And the couple times where he decided to run, what do you know? Now, BYU was pretty darn good up front, but the better quarterback on the field was wearing the white and blue of BYU. Mangum was really good. And Khalil Tate was not. He's not a Heisman Trophy guy anymore. You can lose it on the first week of the season, in my opinion. You were over at the ASU game, and I watched that back. That was just a train wreck if you're UTSA, and everything went right if you're ASU, other than all the penalties, which, you know, I get these notes of, you know, Todd Graham has all these two penalties, one penalty, least penalized team in the nation. Yeah, and every year you guys don't go anywhere but El Paso, so let's just knock that stuff off.
I could care less about the penalties. It's the first week. It's the first game of week one of the season, and it's so common. If you watch a lot of college football over the weekend, there were a lot of penalties because there are no preseason games in college, thankfully.
Yes.
And ASU looked the part. I was impressed. I don't think that they're, like, going to make the college football playoff, as some of the callers in on the postgame show when I was driving home, and I don't think they're going to win the Pac-12.
But
hey, you know what? They did what they were supposed to do, and the last time UTSA and ASU played in San Antonio, that was a nail biter. I don't know if you remember that.
I do.
It was, I believe, like a Friday or Thursday night game.
It was one of those, yes.
And the test will be much bigger this weekend against Michigan State, so.
I know Bruce Feldman's calling in here in a couple of moments, so just cut me off if he dials in. But I guess I looked at ASU, and they're ready to play Michigan State. They're ready to have a game of this magnitude. You've circled this one on the schedule. I'm one of those guys that has said move up the U of A game to the middle of October, even early September. Play the rivalry game and get it out of the way. How great was it to watch Notre Dame and Michigan? I did so down in the press box in Tucson the other night. How great was it to have a game of that magnitude early in the season? The years of where ASU would play NAU, play a UTSA, and then play New Mexico, and then open the Pac-12 and play in front of family and friends, thankfully, mercifully, those days are gone. The scheduling has been much, much improved. And so, yeah, Michigan State coming in here with a terrific story on their side with Brian Lewerke, the former Pinnacle quarterback leading the Spartans. So I'm very much looking forward to Saturday night. I will be at the game on Saturday night and to check it out. You know, the other stuff around the Pac-12, it was not a good weekend. Washington absolutely, totally laid an egg, in my opinion, against Auburn. Washington had so many good things going on in their game. And they get inside the red zone three times and get just a field goal out of it, and they lose. Now, they're not out of the national title race yet, I don't believe. But that was tough. It was just tough to watch. One of those games they're going to look back and they're going to beat themselves up on and say, you know, what could we have done better? I watched Stanford and San Diego State. Bryce Love was held in check. But Stanford came along and they took care of business against SDSU. USC won easily against UNLV. UNLV put up a lot of yards. It was one of those games you look at and say, does USC's defense really have it all together? But from my view down in the press box on Saturday night, watching Khalil Tate just not running the football, it was very disappointing what Noel Mazzone and Kevin Sumlin decided to do. He looked like a different player. And then up here with ASU taking care of business against UTSA, it sets up the showdown, Michigan State at ASU. I think the other great game this weekend is USC and Stanford. And to join us and talk more about that, Bruce Feldman, Fox Sports FS1 reporter, New York Times best-selling author, and I mentioned the Audible earlier. It's good stuff to listen to that is out there on the space of college football. It's Brad Sussmat. Bruce, how are you?
I'm good, Brad. Good to be on with you.
Yeah, I appreciate the time. And let's just start with ASU, Michigan State, all the angst of the Herm Edwards hire. They take care of business over the weekend. Now they get a real challenge of Michigan State. Brian Lewerke went to high school here in the Valley. He comes back. Give me a thumbnail. I know you have USC Stanford, but from afar, give me a thumbnail on this game from your view.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. When I thought about this matchup, I did three Michigan State games last year, so I spent a bunch of time around Brian, and he's a really bright kid and know his background well. It's a homecoming game for him. He's got some really good talent around him. I mean, they had a really good year last year. It's funny because they were so young, and I think when people were trying to get to know him, they kind of realized, wait, this kid's much more athletic than they probably thought he was, and I wouldn't call him a dual threat quarterback necessarily of how they run him, but he's very good. He's going to go up against Manny Wilkins, who I think is awesome. I mean, he's a really good player, and he extends plays, but I did a long story about Manny for The Athletic earlier this year, and just thought his story and all he's about is great for college football. And, I like that matchup. I think that, we're still trying to figure out what we're going to have from Herm at ASU. You know, I think it was a nice first win. UTSA is a decent FBS program. I mean, they're certainly not a Power 5 team, but they're also not like going out and beating an FCS program. And it was not even close. So I think that was a big positive. Obviously, everybody saw the N'Keal Harry amazing play where it looks like he's boxed in and somehow scores a touchdown. We know he's dynamic. So I think if you're Michigan State, you got to figure out, hey, can we contain this big weapon that Manny Wilkins has? I think a lot of people right now feel like Michigan State is a legit top 15 team. This would be a huge statement if Arizona State can win this game. I mean, keep in mind, last weekend, Utah State gave Michigan State all it could handle. So I think this is under the radar, a really good matchup to keep an eye on this week.
Fox Sports college football reporter Bruce Feldman with us. He'll be with Joe Davis and Brady Quinn as they get ready for USC and Stanford, and a terrific matchup there. Given the Pac-12 took some lumps last week, I'm kind of on the side of the fence of you can't throw Washington out of the national championship conversation. It always is, when do you lose? They lost early in the season. It wasn't a bad loss, although their red zone play was horrible. I'm curious from your point of view, the Pac-12 last weekend with what happened to UCLA and U of A, Washington losing, was it a black eye weekend? And what does this weekend do for the conference with your game?
You know, I don't know. It was a big blow. There's no way around it. I mean, after going 1-8 in the bowl last year, I thought Washington, I still think Washington is the best chance they have to get into the playoff. I think that's a really good team. There's no shame in losing the way they did to Auburn. It was basically a de facto Auburn home game. But they need those non-conference big games to resonate. Look, maybe Herm Edwards will make a big statement for the Pac-12, because to beat Michigan State, which is a good team, I think that would be a huge win for the conference, because you don't really have that many of these where you face a really good team at a conference.
Mm-hmm.
Just there's not a lot of the matchups. This is certainly one of them. For our game, USC, I thought, they looked okay against an undermanned UNLV team. I thought Stanford struggled early with San Diego State, but San Diego State's got some players, and I thought the way they came out in the second half, especially with KJ Costello, was impressive. You know, he threw for over 330 yards and four touchdowns. Rocky Long's defenses are always really good. that, and they did a good job against Bryce Love. So we'll see. Last weekend, USC gave up over 300 yards on the ground to UNLV, and now they're going to get Bryce Love in Stanford. So I'm fascinated to see, will Bryce Love get it going against USC? It's a home game, everything. To me, it's about as good a matchup as we have in week two.
Bruce Feldman with us. Let's talk further. You mentioned it, the story you did on Manny Wilkins on The Athletic. And there's this belief system, and I'm kind of on that side on this one. Manny Wilkins has not lost a game for ASU, and he's not won a game for ASU. He's been very serviceable, Bruce, if you know what I mean by that. And I'm curious your view of him off the field with the story you did, and then on the field and the type of player that ASU has here.
Off the field, I mean, I think he's as good as you're going to get in terms of, you know, he had so much hardship in his life, his dad dying when he was 10. He had seen his mom in abusive relationships. He had bounced from one you know, place to live to another. And he gets to ASU and was surrounded by some really good kids or good people in that ASU quarterback room and locker room, and matured over time. And now I think the stuff he's doing to use his platform to speak out against violence against women and some of these other causes, he gets it. And I think in a lot of ways, Manny Wilkins is everything that's good about college athletics, because he's got opportunity and he's running with those opportunities. In terms of on the field, you know, I remember we did a Thursday night game against Utah, and he got just pummeled. You know, Utah came after him, and Arizona State was not really built to handle it. And I think this is a kid whose mental toughness is awe-inspiring, and his physical toughness is a lot more than, you know, he's not the biggest guy in the world. It's not, right. You know, it's not like he's 6'5". He's not Cam Newton size, and he just keeps coming and playing through a lot of stuff. And yeah, he has N'Keal Harry, but it's not like he has the supporting cast of what you know, what USC quarterbacks typically have or what some other guys have. But the defense was really shaky at times, you know, since he's been there. So you're going to be in a lot of games where you may be back out on the field in a hurry. And I thought he has kind of kept them afloat and given them a puncher's chance in a lot of games. And like I said, that's why I think he has a chance to make a big statement this weekend for Herm and ASU, like, with a really good team coming in there.
Last question, I'll let you go, and I appreciate your time, Bruce. Bruce Feldman with FS1 and Fox Sports. They have USC and Stanford this weekend. Where's your Heisman vote at? It's very early. I know, but people want to know. Early on in the season, I said earlier, I think Khalil Tate's out after his showing against BYU. Where are you at early on in this thing?
Well, I think it's too soon to write anybody completely off, you know, because it's a long season. I mean, right now, Will Grier saw man-to-man coverage against Tennessee and shredded those guys for 5 touchdowns. I think he came into the year with some hype, and I think he's lived up to it so far. It's early, but I expect him to have a huge year. I didn't put out any Heisman top 5 yet, because I just think it's time to pump the brakes a little bit on it. Mm-hmm. But, you know, for me, he'd be a good starting point as a guy to keep an eye on. But I think at this point, there's really no wrong answers. It's only week one.
Sure. And you've got a good one this weekend with USC to see Bryce Love bounce back. Appreciate the time and the insight, as always. Thanks.
Thank you.
Good stuff there. Bruce Feldman, FS1 and Fox Sports. Peter King in about 10 minutes. On the other side, we're going to turn our attention to some news around the Cardinals. And yeah, I do have to touch on the Diamondbacks and just what an absolute meltdown is going on here in Arizona. Stay with us. Peter King will be with us in about 6 minutes. He's going to Skype on in. So let's spend some time on the Diamondbacks. Okay, we're done with the Diamondbacks. No, I'm just kidding. Look, you're going to have days, but not weeks. You can't have weeks when it comes to even mid-August, when they went on that road trip against a bunch of losing teams and they weren't good. And the games in L.A., you know, Torrey Lovello decides to go back to Archie Bradley for a second game in a row against Matt Kemp. And you can second guess, and you should second guess and third guess what happened in that game. Zach Greinke being left in too long, in my opinion. And I've been one of those that have said, I wish they would ride their horse longer in Greinke. So he decides to ride his horse, and it backfires on him then. A.J. Pollock is not doing much of anything. Jordan had a great note up on the website, sports360az.com, breaking down the struggles of Pollock once again. the cracks clearly are there, and there's nothing that you can do, nothing at all that you can do at this point. Trade deadline is passed. Waiver moves are passed. And you look at their schedule and how difficult it is, and then they lay an egg again last night against the San Diego team that's got nothing to play for other than scheduling U-Hauls to come pick up their stuff and making fishing trips and sitting around and planning on their travel websites where they're going to go to. There's no reason the Padres should come in here. And I get it. Emotionally taxing loss Sunday afternoon where Archie walks off and says, let's get the hell out of L.A., and come back here. And yesterday, they just weren't competitive. I didn't think they were competitive yesterday. So they're two back in the wild card. They're a game and a half back in the division. They have the Padres again tonight with Robbie Ray, who's been somewhat better, but we just don't know from a consistency standpoint. And it's very frustrating for me because I feel like Colorado's just not that good. The Dodgers have been beat up, but the Dodgers are now putting it all together. You have to give Dave Roberts the credit. Even with his bullpen not being nearly as what it should be, they're still in a position where they're in front of the Diamondbacks today. It has been a year that, if I look back on it, as bad as they were in May, and then they have this terrible stretch in the middle of August, and then they go out on this last road trip and don't play well at all in any of the games, really. They really didn't. And you go through those three stretches and say, yeah, if you guys had just played better baseball at certain points of the season, you'd be up 8 or 10 games in this division. That's the frustrating part of it, especially with their awful May. And to have a bullpen blow up twice, as it did in L.A., it's just, I can't say it's befuddling at this point because it's been this way the whole season. But this will be a season that will go down as missed opportunities. I think the general manager's done as good a job as he can do in putting a team together on the field. For whatever reason, there's been stretches where this team and Torey Lovello have been asleep. You can't sit here and just say all is well. You have to look at somebody and say, okay, is it all A.J. Pollock's fault? Is it all Archie Bradley's fault? No, there's just been this on-off switch that hasn't been good. Peter King is next. Stay with us. Let's turn our attention now to the opening of the NFL this Thursday night, Thursday Night Football. It'll be Atlanta at Philadelphia, and Peter King with NBC is with us. Of course, you can check out all of Peter's content on NBC Sports. And Peter, a longtime observer of the National Football League, so we have to play this game right off the top. Fearless predictions for 2018. I will throw one at you like a Roger Federer backhand and get eliminated. The Cardinals will be better, Peter, than Vegas and 6 wins. I'm not saying they're going to be great, but let's just start with that one.
I think their defense shows that they ought to be at least 6 wins. I don't know. It's a very, very tough division. Seattle is one of the most impressive teams I saw this summer. I really like the Seahawks a lot. So, where the wins coming from, I guess, is my point. I think they have a chance with that defense and with the return of David Johnson and an accurate quarterback to be better than 6. I think they could easily be a better team than they were last year, and the record won't show that.
No, that's
but
good.
We'll see.
No, that's a good call, because the over-under on Sam Bradford, here's my next fearless. I give him 7 games. 7 games. It may be 3 now, the Khalil Mack with the Bears, and they play him in week 3. I don't know.
Yeah.
But
it's such a complicated thing when you look at Sam Bradford. How in the world do you make any prediction on him? He never, very rarely can stay healthy. And so I don't know what to tell you, Brad, because I remember Phil Sims at one point, when people were talking about Phil Sims early in his career, maybe around 85, that he's injury prone. Well, he went on to finish all but one of the seasons of the rest of his career. And so it might be he's snake bit, but until he shows it, I'm not going to be a buyer in Sam Bradford.
Yeah, no, there's no question about it. It's just a matter of if, not when. With Chandler Jones and Patrick Peterson, I subscribe to your theory on defense. This will be my last point on the Cardinals. David Johnson comes back, and then there's Larry Fitzgerald. And I'm curious, Peter, about a year ago, I think, you and I reached out back and forth on. You're trying to find Senator McCain. Senator McCain passes away. I don't know if you ever found him or not.
Fitz, never did.
Fitz speaks at his service, and I'm looking at Larry, and it just struck me as the last week went by, I could see Larry going into service when he's done with his career and doing something in that realm. I know you've talked to him at depth on a bunch of things. Do you think last week was a changing moment maybe for him to open his eyes to some other things?
Very good question. He's told me no way, the way he's told everybody about a career in politics. And you know, so I'll take him at his word. But I do think that anybody who has studied John McCain, and Larry Fitzgerald has, I wouldn't say he studied him, but anybody who wants on a vacation to go and sit in the cell in Vietnam that John McCain sat in for those many years, and who, hey, look, when I was running the MMQB last year, I approached Larry about writing a Christmas column for us about John McCain, and his amount of knowledge about John McCain was startling. You know, one of the first things he said to me was, yeah, I really want to do this. I want to pay tribute to him. Do you have any idea? This guy spent 6 Christmases as a prisoner of war. Can you imagine that? And I wrote my column this week, Brad, that Bruce Arians' tenure as coach of the Cardinals was 150 days less than John McCain spent as a prisoner of war. And think about it. There's a lot of people who look at Bruce Arians. Man, he was the coach of the Cardinals, not forever, but he was a coach of the Cardinals for over 5 years. So you look at it and you just realize that Larry Fitzgerald really went to school on John McCain and respects him. I don't really see him getting into politics, but we'll see.
Yeah, no, that's well put. Let's bounce around the league a little bit before I let you go. And that is, here into week one, the narrative of the NFL is in trouble, the concussion stuff, the TV ratings are down, and yet they pay Aaron Rodgers crazy money, Aaron Donald crazy money, Khalil Mack gets traded crazy money. The dollars, Peter, in the league indicate that this league is not in trouble, that there are warning signs. But what do you think?
You know, I think there are warning signs, and I think the NFL has to be careful and has to pay attention to that. The anthem thing is not going away, and that's red meat for people who want to find reasons to not love the NFL. So I think that's one thing. CTE problem. I mean, I read the other day that high school participation in interscholastic football, tackle football, is down over 30% in the last decade. And so there are definitely issues that the NFL has to be worried about. But I would also make the point about the NFL that that they've got a lot of goodwill that they would have to squander before it becomes the NHL. And I'm not being critical of the NHL. I'm just saying the NFL is so big, so monolithic,
right,
that it's got a lot of room to air before you really worry about its future.
Last question, I'll let you go. The team or player that you're interested in seeing that is rising, and then flip at the other side that is declining.
Well, I'm really interested in early on in this season in watching Andrew Luck. Basically, it's been 20 months since we've seen him, play a serious game. He's one of the greatest quarterbacks of this era, we thought, when he got hurt. So I'm very interested in him, and I think he's going to come through well. I'm a little bit cautious with everybody proclaiming the Cleveland Browns to be the next great thing. I mean, you know, they were 0-16 last year and their best player retired. So, again, I think they've made some really good strides and some good decisions, Brad, but I'm totally unconvinced about the Browns. I think they're going to have another lousy year. But, you know, hey, if they win 3 or 4 games and they're competitive in 8 or 10 others, that's probably a win for them.
Last question. Washington comes to the Valley this week. Adrian Peterson comes back as a member of the Redskins. What do you make out of this game? And does Adrian have anything left in the tank from what you're hearing, Peter?
I think he's got something left in the tank, but the only really good running back who's been consistently good well into his 30s in recent years is Frank Gore. And I don't think Washington is going to build their offense this weekend or any weekend around Adrian Peterson. This is going to be Alex Smith's team. He's going to try to win with a controlled passing game, moving the chains. I think that Washington will come in not wanting to give Alex Smith or not wanting to give Sam Bradford a lot of time to throw the ball. And so I look at this as who can get to the other quarterback better. I think Arizona gets to Alex Smith better than Washington can get to Sam Bradford. I like Arizona this weekend.
Thanks, Peter, for the time, as always. Appreciate it.
Okay, thank you, Brad.
Always good to catch up with Peter King there. Peter King, of course, with NBC. You can check out his content over at NBC Sports. Does a terrific job with his weekly notes column and covering the NFL for many, many, many years. Sports360AZ.com. I'm Brad Sussmat. So there's a really cool story that's developed here in the last couple of days that has a national tie, and it's on the high school level here in Arizona. The recruiting of quarterbacks in our great state has always been something that's been under the microscope. Why Arizona State and why the U of A cannot convince quarterbacks from our state to stay at home, and they usually go on to do great things. Well, this week, the first set of statistics from Max Preps, a website that deals only in stats on high school level, came out. And there are three quarterbacks that are in the top 10 in the nation right here in Arizona. One of them leads the entire country in passing yards so far, and it's Gunnar Cruz at Castile High School, who's committed to Mike Leach at Washington State. Gunnar Cruz never once looked at ASU or U of A with any serious intention. He's leaving. He's leaving the nation in passing. Keaton Slovis over at Desert Mountain, he is fourth. And Spencer Brash, who's at Higley, he's at seventh. And the three of them are ranked in the top 10. Now, Eric, you've seen these three. And
False. I have not seen. I have not seen Caden Slovis.
You haven't seen Slovis in person.
I have not.
My fault.
But, I mean, I've seen enough footage to know exactly why USC likes this kid.
And so he's going to USC.
He is.
And he never really was in the crosshairs of ASU. They tried late. They tried late to get him, from my understanding, but they didn't get him, and he's going to USC.
And you know the coincidence of those three quarterbacks. All three of them are going to Pac-12 schools, but none to either U of A or ASU.
Spencer Brash is going to Cal.
Correct.
So, and you've seen Gunnar Cruz. You saw him against Centennial, the best program in the state this year. I don't think there's any debate about that 3 weeks into on the high school season.
I would tend to agree.
Because Saguaro would
beat at any level. I think they beat any team, including Chandler. So,
you know, I'm sitting here with three quarterbacks in the top 10 in the nation, and the number one overall player in the country in statistics. And yeah, you could play against a bad team; he can roll up numbers. But from what I've heard, you know, so far Castile's played against some pretty good teams. Does it reflect badly on ASU and U of A at this point, or are we just to accept that it's not the coach, it's not the coaching staff, that it's the program? There's a big difference here. The program is the brand. The brand of U of A, I'm not interested, or Tucson, I'm not interested, or Tempe, I'm not interested, or Arizona State, I'm just not interested. And you have players that are going to Washington State, Cal, and USC. And two of those schools, I would think, just if you lined them up side by side, unless you just want to get out of the state, you would at least take a look at that.
And Jacob Conover, Brad, ASU was in on, and he's going to BYU.
He's going to
the
BYU.
Chandler quarterback. And there's a lot of other good.
But I think there's
a lot of other quarterbacks in the valley that people don't even know of that would be probably top players in other states. That's how deep the quarterback class here in Arizona is.
Why is that, do you think?
I don't know. It's one of those things. I was talking to Chris Cartman about this over the summer. There's just like on a national level, it's just a bad time for quarterbacks. But for some reason in Arizona, we have like up to 10 really good ones. I don't know why.
Because we have a quarterback next year that's going to Ohio State, at least committed
to.
We do. We have a quarterback next year that's at least already been offered by U of A. And I watched him the other night. I watched Pinnacle the other night on our stream. And he's going to be – he's big. He's strong. He's – my gosh.
And then right down the road from Pinnacle, Ben Finley at Paradise Valley, who's Ryan Finley's younger brother, is a junior. And he's going to be a Division I football player. And no one even really talks about him. They're just all over in the state of Arizona, especially here in the Valley. There's just good quarterbacks.
So when you have Michigan State come to town this week, or you have BYU, like I saw Conover on Saturday night before the game down in Tucson. He and Braden Leibrock were both there together to watch the Romneys, who are playing for BYU. And when you have games of this magnitude, don't you think that there should be an attraction to, let's get these guys on the sideline tonight, or are you guys interested in checking out what we're doing? It's just frustrating for me to see so many talented players not get picked up here, because the college game, people want Arizona State and U of A to be on a national scale. And you can't do that if the most important position on the field is always being taken by guys that maybe aren't as good as some of these national names. Now, there's guys that have come in that we know all too well that look like on the surface they're going to be great, and they went on down to Texas or Texas A&M, and it didn't work out at all for them. And Arizona State never ended up being an option for them. Stuff happens. I get it. But, man, number one quarterback in the nation in passing yards, and you don't even get a sniff out of him, and he's going to Washington State? I mean, how does that work? And the other thing about this week's game for ASU, yeah, there's going to be a lot of love given by ESPN on Herm Edwards. And it's, in my opinion, I get it. Former coworker, there's going to be guys that journalistically, from a production standpoint and others, are going to say, yeah, throw that all out the window. You know, I'm going to look at my guy and I'm going to support him some. I understand that. I also understand that Michigan State has played in a lot of close games over the last 2 years. It's supposed to be hot this weekend. It's a 7:45 kickoff. On the surface, you'd say Michigan State should push them all over the field and run it right down the throat of ASU. I can't say that. I think, obviously, this is a huge litmus test for Herm. And the detractors and doubters and those that didn't want Herm Edwards here for one weekend had to put up with it. This will be the test. And if it doesn't work out, there's going to be the, well, Todd Graham would have done this and Todd Graham would have done that. And I'm just not going to play that game. I'm just not. Todd's not here anymore. Todd did the thing the other night during the Virginia Tech Florida State game. He was doing the in-studio stuff, a bunch of coaches sitting around chatting it up. Or maybe it was the LSU game, one of the two over the weekend. I didn't even bother to watch. You know, it's, I get it. You're auditioning to get on to your next job. But for those, and there's still some of them, that are so hell-bent on they should have kept the coach before, I just don't get it. The other side on this story is Brian Lewerke, the quarterback at Pinnacle at Michigan State now, coming back to Phoenix this week. N'Keal Harry has a national platform like he has not had before, and he was terrific the other night. Just great. We're going to have something on the TV show with him. So all sorts of angles around this game Saturday night. Really interesting on that front. Sports360AZ.com. I'm Brad Sussmat.